Happy New Year and welcome to 2019. Okay, congratulations for being on the right track, making Sunday service a weekly habit for you. You know, I read this quote that says that if you want to create a habit in your life, if you miss that habit for a day, the chances of you maintaining that habit falls from 100% to 95%. If you miss that routine for the second day, the chances of you maintaining that habit drop from 95% to only 59%. Okay, so the message is that don't miss Sunday service 2 weeks in a row, all right? So you are on the right track, but then it's not really just about coming to church on a Sunday, but it's really about you growing, this year, growing your relationship and growing your faith in God. So the question for us really to ask is that, is our faith, is our relationship with God growing? Every year, as we begin prayer and fasting, it's like putting on a coat or putting on a shirt. So when you put on a shirt, when you put on a coat, which button do you button first? Assuming that it's a shirt with buttons. Which button do you button first? Normally the top, okay? Who button from the bottom? None, right? So normally we button from the top. So it's to kickstart the year. It's really the first button that we want to put on as we seek God in our prayer and fasting. It's the first button illustration. For me, it's really, as I start the year, I want to sow the seed that this year, I want God to define my year. I want God to write my story. I do not want my year to be just whatever will be, but I want the fullness of what God has in store for me, and I want to seek God. And that's what we want to achieve this whole week, next week. Now, there may be sitting here, three categories of people. Sitting here, you may be those fasting for the first time. You may be asking the question, will I die? You know, what do I fast from? People will ask, is it okay if we drink water? Is it only food? If it's your first time fasting, we are excited for you. The booklet gives you a handle how to fast and what to fast. And yes, it is fasting from food. And all other fasts are secondary. Okay, so you'll begin to realize that suddenly food can talk. In this week, you begin to realize that food begin to call out your name when you fast. Okay, so that will be what you'll be experiencing if you are fasting for the first time. Okay, the booklet will tell you how to fast, what are the benefits of fasting, what the Bible says about fasting. Second group of people, maybe you have fasted before, but you have taken a step back. You have kind of saying that every year is the same. I want to encourage you to don't give up. I want to encourage you to press on. The Bible talks about how our prayer makes a difference. In Corinthians, it talks about how the church, in a moment of despair, prayed and everything changes. Okay, begin to write down and set aside time to pray. And thirdly, I hope that there will be most of you. There are people who are excited about your journey of prayer and fasting because you know that it is where you're going to meet God in a supernatural way. Okay, prayer and fasting is a season whereby we discipline ourselves to say yes to God and to say no to our flesh. We say yes to His presence. We say yes to His promises. We say yes to His power. We say yes to His purpose. I was telling someone, it says that when you fast, you are saying no to your flesh because you're hungry, right? Whether you're fasting two meals a day, you're fasting 2 days in a row before you break fast one meal, it doesn't matter. But at the same time, you are tuning your spiritual ears towards God. We are always very tuned to different things, right? When you have your phone with you, whenever there's a message that comes in, a notification that comes in, you are very alert. You are tuned in to that phone message because you are in tune with that notification of message. If you are a designer, you are an artistic person, when you walk into a house, when you walk into a cafe, you'll be very in tune with color scheme, right? If you are a business savvy person, maybe you're in tune with numbers. Maybe you're in tune with numbers, you're in tune with just finances, you're in tune with the market, you're in tune with just different things. But this season, I want all of us to just be tuned in a little bit to what God is saying to us this season. Okay? The title of today's message is called When We Have Prayed. And this title of this message today, When We Have Prayed, is taken from this verse, When They Had Prayed. In Acts chapter 4, but let me give you a context of Acts chapter 1 to chapter 4. Now, this is the time whereby Jesus has already been taken up to heaven. Okay, Jesus died, He resurrected, and He appeared to many people, and He was taken up to heaven, leaving behind about a few hundred believers. Are you guys with me? Okay, leaving behind a few hundred believers, maybe it's about 200, just like what we have today. And that's all it is to Christian faith at the very beginning. So Jesus left behind a few hundred believers, And they had no idea who to follow. And obviously, the disciple of Christ, the original disciple of Jesus, become the most obvious leader. So they look up to people like Peter, who was very strong and very extrovert and very dominant and very loud. That's Peter, right? And also John, who is very wise and very composed. So Peter and John emerge as the obvious leader in the very, very early church, so-called. God poured out His Spirit. Okay, so they were walking around. They believed in God. They were very bold. But God poured out His Holy Spirit upon them as what Jesus promised. Jesus was telling them that you guys stay here and I will send you a helper just like me and they will empower you. And God poured out His Spirit on the day of Pentecost, on that event day. And before you know it, the disciples begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit and they begin to speak in tongues. And just like a few hundred people here. And as they spoke in tongues, what happened? Crowd began to come in. Because people around them were thinking, what are these people doing? They are like, they are drunk, but it's not even at night yet, okay? They are drunk, but there's no alcohol around. They are like drunk in the spirit. They are speaking in foreign language that we do not understand. But some people from different parts of the world says, they are Jews, but they are speaking my language. So crowd began to gather. And the Bible talks about there was a few thousand of them, okay? So few thousand of them looking at 200-300 of them. And Peter saw in the crowd, Peter being the main leader, the most outspoken one, he stood up and he preached a very powerful message about Jesus Christ, about why, you know, Jesus Christ, whom you guys crucified, He is both Lord and Christ. And the people around them get convicted in their hearts and they ask, Lord, what should we do to be saved? And Peter preached to them, says, repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, suddenly from that 200-300, it becomes 3,000 people. Are you guys with me? Okay, imagine yourself at the first birth of the Christian movement. Okay, from 200-300 people, suddenly it become 3,000 people. And people began to talk. It went viral the first century way. Not through social media. It went viral means people begin to talk behind the alley. People, all the auntie, uncle, all the assam, as they wash clothes, they begin to talk. Have you heard that message of that Jesus begin to heal? Have you heard that people in the business, as they buy and sell vegetables, they begin to talk? Children, when they go to school, they begin to talk. My parents saw this, and it went viral, and it becomes a movement. And Peter and John went about preaching the gospel. They went about telling the people what they have seen about Jesus Christ risen, and Jesus Christ gave the forgiveness of sin. And there was this famous story in the early book of Acts. They were entering the temple. There was this beggar who has been there for many, many years. Everybody in that city know that beggar because the beggar has been there for so many years. As they walk by, the beggar will have asked them the money. Okay, so this is a beggar who everybody knows. And this beggar asked Peter and John for money. And this is the famous quote, right? Peter looked to the beggar and said, silver and gold I do not have. But what I have, I'm going to give it to you now. In the name of Jesus, pick up your mat and walk. And that beggar picked up the mat and walk. And can you imagine that few thousand people around it? It becomes a commotion. It's like a chaos happening. People were like saying, walao, hey, look at that guy. You know, I just gave the guy money last week and today he is praising God, he is shouting, he is walking, and he's even doing CrossFit and he is doing all those stuff, okay? He's doing body pump and he's doing all this Zumba, whatever not. There's a miracle. So imagine, okay, so the crowd began to grow, people began to talk, and number now grow to 5,000. Okay, so a few hundred to 3,000 to 5,000 and people. And when this crowd grow, the people in the authority, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, the Sadducees, which is the organization, they are religious and yet they are part of business, or they are people in power, politics in that sense, they begin to feel threatened, right? Because there is this group of now 5,000 people who claim to believe in this way. Okay, it's like are they a cult? Are they a movement? So they begin to feel threatened. So what do? Whenever there's a movement, you find a leader. You crush the leader and the movement will die. So they've looked for Peter and John and finally they found Peter and John. The Bible says it was in the evening and they put them into jail. Peter and John were put into jail until the next day. And the next day they were dragged out to the courthouse in front of the priest, the ruler and the teacher. They began to interrogate Peter. And they were very surprised. Why? Because Peter and John, they were unschooled people. They were fishermen. Okay, they were like, wow, these guys, they are uneducated, they are rough people, they are not well-to-do, and yet they seem so wise. They seemed to know the law, okay, because God has empowered them with the Holy Spirit. They were astonished and they took note. The Bible says they realized that these guys have been with Jesus. Okay, they probably, when they interrogate, some of the guards says, these two guys, I've seen them with Jesus, that Jesus who died and rose again, and I've seen them with Jesus the last couple of years. They were always with Jesus. You know, something about us, when we spend time with God, something happened in us. When we spend time with God, people will know that you are different. People will know that, wow, you are different. Okay, well, I guarantee you, prayer and fasting 5 weeks, besides losing a couple of kg, people will know that you are different because of the Spirit of God that is with us. And they do not know what to do with them, okay, because they want to put these guys into jail. But there's this guy, the beggar guy, who keeps shouting, oh, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And the people around the beggar were clapping hands. They were saying that Peter and John is like the hero. They are the man of God. So they did not know what to do. They're afraid if they were to put these guys to prison, there will be a riot outside. Are you guys with me? So they said, okay, let's just give them a warning. Okay, let's just issue a yellow card. Okay, give them a warning. Says, do not preach the word again. Okay, we give you last warning, last chance. Do not preach the word again. Do not speak about the J word ever again. And then they let them go. They threatened them, give them warning, and release them. And they went back to the people. And this passage takes place when they go back to the people. Are you guys with me? Okay, I'm going to read the passage now, all right? Chapter 4, verse 23. They are released from the prison. Peter and John went back to their own people, and they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them, which is, don't speak of the message ever again. Lay low, keep quiet. When they have heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Okay, when they have heard that report, they raise their prayer. They raise the worship team begin to start. Tum, tum, tum. Okay, they begin to pray. They begin to praise God. Okay, in their, maybe they are in the room, maybe in someone's house. We don't know. And they continue on, and they pray this. He says, "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them." Okay, they begin their prayer by thanking God, and then they say, "You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our forefathers, King David. Why do the nation rage and the people plot in vain? The king of the earth rise up and the ruler band together against the Lord and against his anointed one." Okay, so this is their opening prayer. And then they said, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate. Okay, these two guys, Herod is a king of Jews, like a puppet put there in place by the Roman government, which is the governor Pontius Pilate. He says, indeed, Herod and the Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles, which is people who are not Jews, and the people of Israel and the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Okay, so they were referring to Jesus who was just crucified maybe a couple of months ago. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. And then they said, this is now. This is their prayer, okay? This is the prayer that we want to just rub off our prayer that we're going to start praying for this week. It says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Now, wait a minute. Consider their threats. Don't you think that they will be praying that, God, thank you for protecting Peter and John, but just keep us safe, will you, God? Wouldn't you just think that they will be praying, God, thank you for protecting them. Would you help us think of creative ways for us to lie low and keep ourselves being arrested? Wouldn't you think that they'll be praying things like protect us, keep us safe, and help us to lie low? But they say that help us speak your word with what? Great boldness. That's the word great, okay? He says, stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders. Okay, that's great things. Great demonstration of the power of God through the name of your holy servant. If I were there, I would probably think that, oh, thank God it's not me in the prison. Let's hope they do not arrest us again. I will probably be responding in fear. But instead, they respond with great faith. Are you guys with me? Instead of praying, protect us, save us, lay low, and things like that, they pray great faith. They pray for great boldness, and they pray for great demonstration of healing, signs, and wonders. Even today, as we want to kickstart our series called Great Faith, our prayer and fasting season called Great Faith, I want us to have that kind of spirit to pray. Not keep us safe kind of prayer, not just provide for us kind of prayer, not small, not shrinking back kind of prayer, but instead we want to pray a prayer that is of greatness. What does great means? Great bonus, perform signs and wonder. Great faith. What does great means? Great simply means mega, boundless, beyond normal. Okay, above, way beyond normal or what is expected. It makes great makes you go, wow, that's great. I shared before, I took Shane, my son, to a football match of Malaysian versus Vietnam in the final first leg of AFF Suzuki Cup. And I tell him that there will be a lot of people. And to a child, a lot of people means maybe this group is a lot of people. And I told him that there will be a lot of people. We had to be dropped off quite far away. And as we walk towards the stadium, we can see lots of people making to the stadium. But it doesn't beat that view when we enter that passage to that stadium of 88,000 people. Even myself and him and our friends, we go, whoa. Because there were a great multitude of people. How many of you like caving? You know, if you're hiking, you pass some caves, but we have in Sarawak the largest cave in the world, out of Miri. You don't know that, right? We have the largest cave in the world. Now, we think that a big cave is as big as this. Or we think a big cave is as big as we go to a hotel ballroom that can fit 100 tables. We say, wow, big ballroom. But this cave, it's the largest cave in the world. It can fit 40 Boeing planes inside that cave. One cave. 40 Boeing planes, wingtip to wingtip. Now, that's great, huge cave. What I'm saying is that this word great is not just big. Okay, when you go and order your wonton mee, okay, you order big one. When it comes, you don't go, whoa, right? You don't. Because it's just big. It's not great. You go to McDonald's, you want to upsize, pay 1 ringgit? Yes, upsize. When you got the cup, yeah, it's big. You don't go, whoa. Because why? Because it's not great. But this word great faith, it means mega. It means boundless. It means not just above normal. The Hebrew word says it's abundantly above what is normal. It makes you go, wow. And this is the great faith that the early disciple had when they prayed that prayer. When they had prayed. A great faith kind of prayer. And we will see what happened after this. So that's the kind of great faith that I want us to have, that spirit when we pray today. Not just normal prayer. Not just prayer that you have been praying every day. God, would you just bless my food? Great faith prayer does not look inward to our problems, but it looks upwards towards God's promises and power. Great faith prayer does not just ask to get by, but it asks for more than enough and to try to succeed so that we can be a blessing. A great faith prayer asks for things that you know if it comes true, it is only God that brings it to pass. Pray a prayer that is impossible, that you know that it's impossible. But with men, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That's what the scripture says. And this is what happened after they had prayed a great faith kind of prayer. Okay? When they had prayed, the place where they assembled together, it was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word with boldness. And to continue on, now the multitude of those believed were one heart. Okay, talk about unity in their heart. They were one heart and one soul. Unity in their heart, unity in their spirit. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had everything in common. They had great generosity. And with great power, the apostle gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace were upon them. You know, there were seven things from this passage. Seven things that we can extract from this passage, what had happened when they had prayed a great faith kind of prayer. So we want to translate that to when we had prayed. Number one, there were spiritual shaking. There was supernatural shaking. It was like an earthquake. It was like a gush of wind. We don't know. But there were very tangible, obvious expression of the power of the Holy Spirit. There were breakthrough in our prayer this season of prayer and fasting. I want to encourage all of us here to pray that there will be a supernatural visitation from God to you. Whether it's doing prayer meeting, whether it's doing your personal prayer time, whether it's your devotion time, whether as you set aside half an hour, 1 hour, I don't know, when you set aside time to seek God, God will show up. There will be a breakthrough. God's presence is so tangible, so thick, and so strong that you cannot deny it. Now, myself, I experienced that quite a few times. Most of the time, I was during a particular worship time, whether it's a prayer night, worship night. Once during, when I was alone, a few times during a message, that when our heart is aligned towards seeking God, yearning for Him, desiring Him, longing for Him, pray that God, there will be a supernatural breakthrough, that there will be a supernatural visitation of God, that we will overthrow bondages, chains will be broken. I spoke to a relatively new Christian, I think last week, and he was talking about how he became a Christian. He's probably in his late 20s, early 30s. He talked about how he was suicidal. And he was so suicidal that he will go and sit in the middle of the road at night, hoping that car will run him down. Okay, so he was at that kind of suicidal situation. But he said that visited church before that, but there was one after that, a couple of weeks later, someone invited him to church again. He visited our church in Puchong, and subsequently he met up with one of the life group leaders. They talked and they prayed, and he asked Jesus into his life. When he asked Jesus into his life and the people lay hands on him and prayed, he said something happened. It says that it is like something broke in his spirit, and that suicidal thoughts and tendencies was just gone after they had prayed. And a week later, the life group leader was saying that a week later he brought another friend, and this guy was sharing the goodness and the message of God to this friend. And just a week ago, he was experiencing being suicidal. Now, that's a supernatural shaking and breakthrough. Are you guys with me? So as you pray, I want to encourage you that you will pray for a breakthrough. You will pray for something which you know that has held you back for a long time. Something which you thought you couldn't change. I don't know. It's just like in the Old Testament, Jacob was wrestling with God. He says, God, I will not let you go until you have blessed me. It is that kind of wrestling. It could be a change of perspective. It could be a change of a certain addiction. It could be a change of a certain situation that is hopeless. I don't know. But you pray. You pray until there is a supernatural breakthrough in your life. Great faith. Great prayer. Secondly, there was empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so as when they had prayed, the Holy Spirit filled them. They experienced power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that this year, my life will be empowered of the Holy Spirit. That I will not be driven by fear. I will not be driven by my emotion. I will not be driven by my reasoning, my own rational, but I will be empowered and be driven by the Spirit. That I will not be driven by greed or anger, uncertainty, fear. I'm claiming this verse that as I pray and seek God this week, that God will just empower me and fill me so that my year will be empowered by the Spirit. And thirdly, boldness. Boldness. They knew at that time as they speak the Word of God, as they go out and begin to preach the Word of God to the people, they knew that they have every risk to be arrested, to be flogged in public, to be shamed, to be humiliated, to be put into prison. But they speak of the word boldness as well. I want to pray that I will have boldness in my life. There is this classic evangelist, writer, Christian writer and theologian by the name of D.L. Moody. He was an unschooled person. He was a shoe salesperson and uneducated, and he couldn't even speak well. He started well, but because he desired so much of God's Holy Spirit empower him, he couldn't even pronounce a name in the Bible called Daniel. What about names like Nebuchadnezzar? He can't pronounce it. But he said this. He says, I love Jesus, and I want to use my whole life to serve Him. And he asked people to pray for him. And every way they go, as he preaches his message, people will begin to be convicted of their sins, and people will begin to get saved. And there will be, in that book, it talks about there will be other pastors that visited his church and other pastors who was very eloquent and can speak well. And they couldn't understand why this man, D.L. Moody, who can't really speak, not really educated, but when he speak the word of God, when he speak the message, the Holy Spirit would just come powerfully. Why? Because it was empowered of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit enabled him to do what we can't do ourselves. The Bible talks about how God chose, right, the foolish to shame the wise. And I want to pray that this season, as we seek God, that God will give us boldness. You could be the smallest influential, the smallest rank in your company, in your department, but when God gives you the boldness to speak, man, people will stop and listen. Okay? You may think you are a nobody, but when God speaks through you, for unity, there was unity when they have prayed. Besides unity, number five, there was generosity. You know, Acts talks about how they share everything that they have in common. They shoulder each other's load. They share each other's burden. No one went hungry because more than happy, they were just sharing what their possession, okay? Because they were generous, and that's the outcome. Number five and number six, great grace and great power. You know, today and this year, if there are two words that I want to mark my year, will be a year of great grace and a year of great power. Grace is really the favor of God. How many guys want grace of God in your life? The favor of God just pour upon your life. The grace, I like to use this illustration, the grace is like swimming. When you have grace, it's like you are swimming according to the current of the river. Okay, without grace, it's like swimming against the current. Put in all your effort, you realize you have not moved much. But sometimes that's life, right? We felt that we have put so much effort. We felt that we have done so much, and yet the results yield little because we are swimming against the current. But when we have the grace of God, when you put up that sail, the wind just brings you to where you should go. And that's the grace of God. When you feel that the grace of God is behind you, it's different, guys. It's different. That this year, I want my year to be marked by great grace, and finally, great power, that there will be a demonstration of the power of God in my life, and in my life group, and in my church, and in our church. But it starts with a great faith kind of prayer. How you say yes to prayer and fasting is very important. You can say, yes, lah, if I remember to pray, I pray, lah. If I remember to fast, I fast, lah. Now, that's weak kind of yes. But if you want to say yes, you say, yes, I'm going to fast. I'm going to tell someone that I'm going to fast 2 meals a day. I'm going to write it down. Don't live fasting by chance. If I go to the food court, find nothing to eat, okay, lah, I fast, lah. Don't live fasting by chance, okay? Decide how you say yes to God. It determines your prayer and fasting. I want my prayer and fasting to exemplify great faith so that great prayer and all these things will take place because when we had prayed, when I have prayed, and when we have prayed together, when your life group have prayed, when we come together here, we will see all these things. And as we end 2019 in December, we can look back at our 2019 and say, wow, this year has been a year of great grace and great power. Okay, I'm going to have a declaration for all of us as we declare, as we commit our prayer and fasting. I want us to declare this, not only we declare with a loud voice, but we declare it in faith. Okay, one, two, go. Dear Lord, this is my week of change and upgrade. I dedicate my next 1 week to seek you, hear from you, and receive from you. I hunger for your presence. I thirst for your word. I long for your grace. I yearn for your power. We desire to enlarge our faith in 2019. Everything that has hindered our growth in faith, we reject, remove and renounce them. Upgrade our faith as we follow the footsteps of the Hebrew 11 men and women of faith. God, we declare when we had prayed, we will experience breakthrough, fresh empowerment of the Holy Spirit, supernatural bonus for the gospel, stronger unity, greater generosity, great grace and favor, great power from above. Increase our faith in 2019. In Jesus' name, amen.